line for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Listeners, we are always looking for what's new, what's happening, what's going to change, especially in these kind of markets where we feel so much struggling. It's so painful. And there's parts of the way we've been doing the business. It's like we've been doing it since the beginning of time. I'm one of these guys, and I know many of you are looking at what is going to change. Today, we're going to talk about the new way mortgages are going to be done. We're going to be talking about that towards the end of the podcast. And it's angelai.com. And you're hearing me talk about it more and more. You're hearing Clegg Collins, who I just hung up talking to about this, getting a momentum and inertia and awareness created about just how significant a development Angel AI is to our industry. But it's not new in the sense that this just got created. This has been a journey. It's a journey of the person we have as our guest today. Welcome, Pavan, to the podcast. Thank you so much for taking time to join us.
Thank you, David. It's an honor to be here.
And also joining us is Mark Helm, my co-host. And Mark knows SunWest and is getting to know Pavan. He has done work with them as a consultant in a number of manners and means. And so, Mark, thanks for joining in on this interview.
I wouldn't miss it, David.
And especially with your newfound enthusiasm for AI, Mark, I've never seen anybody adopt it, take it on like you do. You have really jumped on this. So I know you're meeting with Nick Saban. It's such a, and so you're taking time out for your meeting with Nick Saban to come on and record this podcast. That's pretty good. That makes your testimony, makes you a testimony of this. Exactly. Yes. Mark personally knows Nick Saban. He really does. Really close. So anyway, let's get started. This whole story started like when I'm thinking about technology, Pavan, or you think about anything new, it seems like it just came about. It just happened. But that's not the story. This started a long time ago. And I want to get into that story. And as we talk more about Angel AI, I want to go with this interview is where it began, because this began when I first met you. You were 11 years old, carrying a skateboard in your dad's mortgage company, SunWest. I used to sell loans to your dad way, way back when. You're 55 years old now, so you can do the math. That was a long time ago. Guys, I've been in the industry for 50 years, so it's not inconceivable that we go back that far. But this kid who carried a skateboard has created what I believe was one of the most exciting, transformative things this industry will be seeing. And it started with your dad going to you with a challenge. It was a RESPA back then, if I'm recalling correctly, Pavan. Is that correct?
It was Truth in Lending.
When this started at 11 years old, it was Truth in Lending. Thank you for correcting me on that. And so you talk about the relationship, how that happened. First of all, I got to say a little bit about your dad. Hari was one of the true gentlemen of our industry. He was a mentor to me. He took me on so many years ago and just gave me wisdom and provided me guidance and mentoring that I desperately needed. I was full of myself. I was very successful at an early age. And your dad, through such a gracious approach, took me in under his wing as I started working with him. I instantly liked him because he was just such a kind, gracious person. He had been successful and he started out successful. He certainly grew in what you've taken of the business since your dad passed a couple of years ago. You've done so much with the business as he transitioned over into your hands. But what he started and how he grew that, it was built on a foundation of wisdom and a real kindness, a real gracious approach. And so you were in the office as an 11-year-old kid carrying a skateboard. And your dad says, "Hey, son, come. I need help. I need your help." Talk about that.
Yeah. So the Federal Reserve just came out with something called Regulation Z, where you had to issue an APR and a truth of lending disclosure within 3 days of the loan application. And back in those days, it cost like $50, which is $50 in 1980s money, right? Which is like $500 today. You had to have a processor type in with an IBM typewriter this legal sites page, front and back, all the information about the borrower and the loan, put it in a transbox. And anybody and listening to this podcast remembers what a transbox is. And it couriered over to a service bureau, and they generated the truth of lending and mailed it out, and they sent you a copy. So that whole process end to end was at least $50, if not more. And it took 3 days, and you couldn't start the disclosures and you couldn't start the loan until that was done. So my dad came to me and he said, hey, this is just one little form. And it's just some simple math, right? It's just this APR thing you got to calculate it. And it's just a polynomial. I mean, it's just algebra. You can do it.
I love that. Yeah. And confidence in his son. That is just the relationship between you and your dad. Hey, son, he had confidence in you. He saw that you were carrying a skateboard and a computer, and he just saw this. He recognized gifts in people. That's another thing about Hari. He recognized when someone had a gift, and he drew on that gift and challenged him to do something with it. And he did that with you. So you created the calculation and you created a program that you didn't have to take transpox. Man, transpox, that brings back some memories. That's something's been around forever. I hadn't thought about in a long time. You then sped up the process and were able to get ahead of loans as a result of that, correct?
That's correct. The reason he was able to recognize gifts in people was he took a very simpler approach. And he said, everyone is gifted. So when he said everyone's gifted and he just assumed that, then everything is possible.
Boy, isn't that a refreshing, Mark, when you sit and think about how many people assume everyone's idiots. And then you knew Hari, Mark. That's so true. I never got a negative from him. I never heard him talk about negative about someone. I tell you, in this market, listeners, you need to pay attention to that and take a lesson to rip a page out of Hari's old playbook and start thinking positive about those that you work with and the circumstances you face. That's really good. Thank you, Pavan.
And I think it goes beyond that. It's not just positive about the people he worked with. He was positive about everybody, even the competitors, even though someone's done you wrong. And in his mind, no one did me wrong. It's just the way it is, just what God meant it to be.
Yeah.
But he always saw things that way. So everything was always positive. And I think ultimately a successful entrepreneur has to always see positive. That's what keeps you going day after day. Every time you get punched and knocked down, you got to get up. And only when you see the positive in everything is when that happens.
He was certainly a man before his time, because to recognize that everyone has something positive about them that they can build upon is revolutionary when you think about when he was talking about that and moving forward. We need more of that in this industry. And I'm glad he's one of the pioneers that started that thought process.
Yeah, and also the industry was very different back then. His mentors were Chuck and Steve from National Pacific.
Wow.
So National Pacific started in the office building that Harry built. So they had leased space from him. And they grew really fast. They started almost the same time as SunWest, and they grew really fast. And even though SunWest and National Pacific were competitors, there was a lot of free flowing of information back and forth. And it was a different time in the 80s. And 90s and even 2000, something just changed the last 10, 15 years where mortgage companies somehow think they have to be at each other's throats. And you really don't. You got so much farther when you just worked with each other and respected each other. In fact, Mark, I mean, you were at RMS when we were hard competitors in the reverse mortgage space in the 2000s, right? But yep, we always respected and shared information and never attacked each other.
Positively. You're exactly right on.
So that's just the way the universe should be. Whatever happened to being a good sport?
When you look at how the industry has changed and is changing, there's just so much more that is developing. And I want to get to that, but I really want to continue along your personal journey. You took on, when did you really find that you had some real talent that you could bring to this process of automation? When did the desire to really take this on as a cause and become a career happen for you? Was it at that age 11?
Yeah, I wouldn't say take on the cause, the desire ever. I was simply following orders. So dad comes to me and says, look, here's this polynomial, this APR problem, and we got to print these forms and it's going to help the business. Go do it. And I'm like, okay, following orders.
I love that. What was the next challenge he threw your way?
The next challenge was, you got this figured out. Now, what about the rest of the disclosures? He's okay. You put the data in for the truth of lending. So why not use that same data to generate the rest of the disclosures? And then after I did that, he says, okay, then why not use that same data to generate the closing dots?
It's all in there. Why not? Start building each process. You started adding technology to do that. When you started to go solve for those things, what was starting to come clear to you? Were you starting to realize, hey, there is a way to solve the entire loan process? When did that happen?
I don't think it was ever a switch that flipped into my head or in the process. It was an evolution. And we just kept adding and adding. And before we knew it, we were solving the whole loan process. But it wasn't a straight line journey. There was a lot of other things going on at the same time, where the biggest obstacle was really the obstacle from within. So as we were building this, there was always this question of, okay, yeah, we built all this, but how much did it cost us in terms of manpower? How much time has gone into it? And maybe there's a cheaper solution, number two, and maybe the argument that we'd get back from both internally and externally would be, why do you think you can build a system that does all this when companies with 1,000 times more money have failed? And so being a kid, I didn't have the sophistication to answer that question. I had no response to that question other than it's working, I'm getting it done. And for my father's perspective, it was like more about a math equation saying, maybe we should stop engineering and focus more on mortgages, because he's looking at this saying, maybe this isn't your highest and best use of your time. There was a commitment, but there wasn't a full commitment to the process. And so if there's any lessons here for all the kids listening, is don't do anything halfway, because without the full commitment, it just dragged it on and made the whole process painful. There should have been a clear decision. We're going to do this or we're not going to do this. So we limped along in the kind of going to do this phase, and we kept pushing forward. Okay. And we did get it done, and obviously we continued and got what we have today. But if we had either gone full steam ahead and gone all in on the tech, then where we are today, we would have been here 20 years sooner.
Is that a fair statement, though? Because so much in the world of technology has developed. What we had available as tools 20 years ago to what we have available today is substantially different. It would have been possible to do what you're doing today 20 years ago, really?
Maybe 20 years is a little bit of exaggeration. The computing power for AI didn't exist back then. But most of the foundation, like everything, all the foundation that runs Angel AI has been built over the last 20, 25 years. So if that foundation was built faster, Angel AI, instead of being released in 2018, it would have been released maybe in 2010. And this market, think about how much the market has changed in 8 years.
Yeah, no.
Imagine Angel AI being there in 2010 with the multiple refi booms that happened, how big we could have gotten, right? That risk of investing in the tech early and hard would have paid back in spades. It has paid back with years. We've made a lot of money with the tech in different formats, which we can talk about later in the show. Ultimately, I always say that we've made more money in tech than I've made in the mortgage business. And we made a lot of money in the mortgage business. So technology is something that takes two things. One is patience and investment. Right? That's maybe three things. Patience, investment, and a whole lot of expertise. Like, you've got to have people who really know what they're doing. Mark, you built a system, Mark, so you know what that means.
Pavan, what you said is really formative in nature, because if I look back and I had to dissect what you did, your early career of working with disclosures and all that, you were probably one of the very few actual mortgage bankers or part of a mortgage banking environment that knew what went in those numbers and how to calculate and do that. Usually back then, we were all buying that service for some third party and depending on them to do it for us. But you were able to do that internally yourself. And I think, my personal opinion, I think your ability to do that has been an innate driver of everything else you've done, because you can do it and it can be done a better way and you don't have to depend on somebody else. Because if you wait on them, you're slowing down your own process. And that's what I admire so much about you.
Yeah, I'm probably the only loan officer in the world that can calculate an APR with a simple calculator.
I will guarantee you are.
There may be a few out there, but boy, they're few and far between. Let's talk about Angel AI. You now have been working on this for 20 plus years, and this is something, listeners, that you need to hear about, because you will be hearing about it. The question is, are you going to be a leader in it, or are you going to be a follower? You have built something that literally allows loan officers to focus in on their greatest strengths, something you talked about earlier, something your dad championed, was find your greatest strength and focus in on that. For most MLOs, most mortgage loan originators, their number one skill set is developing relationships. It's not doing the technical aspects of it. It's great. I'll argue the guy that could do the calculation of an APR and his calculator may not be, I'm not saying he isn't, but may not be the top LO. If he is the top LO and he has those skills, his name is probably Pavan. But other than that, I would say the vast majority of the MLOs out there, their greatest skill set is building relationships. And this system allows them to stay in their sweet spot. And then you could take the loan and put it in Angel AI, and the rest just seems to happen almost magically. Walk us through the process as an originator and as a mortgage banker of Angel AI. Where does it start? And what are the various steps along the way? Does this truly automate everything in between from application to funding?
So the short answer is yes. And the inspiration behind Angel AI comes from my own experience as a loan officer in the early 90s. So the way I did loans was when I sat down across the kitchen table with a consumer, I went through all the documents, I interviewed them, I understood, took about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on what's going on. I understood everything. And I knew the guidelines and everything so well, I basically made a decision on the spot. I said, you're approved. Okay. And I collected everything. I organized it. I structured the deal. Right, so everything was done, basically, in that 1 hour. And then I gave it to our processor and underwriter. I said, okay, here's the deal. This is the cash. I always said, this is exactly the cash to close. This is the interest rate. This is the cash to close. It's already locked. Okay. This is the payment. And it's going to close exactly like this. And this is the day it needs to close. And then I forgot about it. And if they ever had a problem, they came back to me and said, oh, no, we need more cash to close. I said, no, you did something wrong. Let's go double check. So my numbers up front were never wrong. I always got the ratios right. I got the cash to close right. Everything was like, I just knew it was going to close a certain way. The whole point of Angel AI, now, to do that, you got to know all the regs and be really good with the numbers and everything. And be really fast at it so you can deliver that answer within the hour to the customer. I said, there's very few loan officers in the world that can do that. And I'm not the only one. There are others. I've seen others that can do it. And it's arguably they don't need Angel AI for those loan officers, but their operations.
It certainly does, yeah.
So the point is now, how can I deliver that same execution to the 99.9% other loan officers where all you should have to do is interview your customer, build that relationship, cement that relationship, have them committed to you saying, yes, no one else is going to be able to shake that bond that you just established. Okay, get their information, drop it into a machine, press a button like those baking machines, right? You drop all the dough and everything into it, the dough, the butter, and the baking soda. Okay, you press the button and you wake up the next morning with fresh baked bread. That's the same idea. Right. So a loan officer should not have to do anything more than bond with his customer, get the best information he can, drop into the machine. The machine is going to give him near instantaneous answers as to what's going on. So he doesn't have to know all of the guidelines and all of the rules and all of the traps and how to calculate everything. Let the machine do that. Machines are really good at knowing stuff and calculating stuff. And then the machine says, yes, it's approved. Now he doesn't have to worry about it. See, when I was a loan officer, once I said it was approved, I never worried about it. I went and got the next loan. And if the underwriter got something wrong, the processor got something wrong, the closer got something wrong, and something didn't match up, I always told them, if it doesn't match with the numbers I gave you, let me know. My numbers are never wrong.
So what you built, what you had doing, which I used to do too, is be able to pre-qualify, structure the deals, and just had a confidence, an internal confidence that you were good enough at what you did, that you could almost certainly guaranteed that loan is going to get done. That's what Angel AI does right now. That's what it does at the qualification. You give it the input and it can look at all the variable scenarios and come out with structure a transaction. But that's just the beginning. It does so much more. What after that?
Okay. So after that,
we're gathering information and we're having to get all that other stuff that's in there. Talk about how Angel AI does all of that.
Of course. So after the loan officer drops whatever information that he's able to collect up with the initial interview, mm-hmm. then it analyzes the information and figures out what is missing. Right? You never get everything from the consumer in the first pass.
Right.
And based on that, it will automatically create a needs list, communicate with the consumer. So the AI will communicate along with, and this is the key part, along with human AI assistants that we call Angelistas. Okay. And they're all bilingual. They all speak English and Spanish. And they communicate with the consumer. They literally follow exactly line-by-line instructions from the AI to ask for these things. And their job is to communicate with the consumer, get those items, and drop it back into the AI. And then when an item comes in, let's say a W-2 or a bank statement or something like that, right? And the only time you need a bank statement is if the consumer didn't use the automated bank interface or all of those tools. Right? And still I see a large percentage of consumers don't feel comfortable using those things. They'd rather just give you the bank statement. So once you get that document, you drop it in to Angel AI. The consumer can drop it in him or herself directly. And within an hour, that document is analyzed, reviewed, and determined whether it satisfies the requirements or not. And once it satisfies, it's never undone. And that's where the warranty comes in. So that's why I say it's 100% trusted. So whenever Angel AI makes a decision, okay, it's never wrong. So I trust it 100%. And that means if it was wrong, I'm going to honor his decision and I'll scratch a dent the loan if I have to.
That's pretty confident of what your technology is telling you. Be able to say you're willing to guarantee it.
Yes. And I've done tens of thousands of loans through this process. And I've only had to scratch a dent in 4. And that was in the first 2 years of Angel AI.
So let's talk about how long you've been using Angel AI in its current state, last couple of years, four or 5 years?
About 2018, mid-2018 is when we started it.
Okay.
And in its current state is a moving target. It's always changing the current state. Mm-hmm. So for the version that we released in 2018, and it was only released internally to SunWest loan officers, to what it is today, it's night and day difference. And there's a new release, a new build comes out almost every week with lots of new features continuously coming out.
Okay, so this does the pre-qualification. So if you're a loan officer, or even it could work in the hands of a realtor, someone who's pre-qualifying a deal, provided you're collecting enough data that is able to give a substantive answer, it's got to have the basic income, confidence in that income to a certain degree, at least as represented, it then renders a decision, then it's handed off to an Angelista. Is that correct?
And mostly correct. I wouldn't call it a pre-qualification. It's an actual approval. You have to say pre-approval, technically, because you don't have a purchase contract. So our terminology, we call them true approvals, because you approve it once and then there's no second underwrite. It isn't like after, you open escrow, there's another underwriting process. No, it's just additive. As more documents come in, it just adjusts the underwriting.
Okay. And is it being underwritten through AI at that point, through the engines and through the means by which you do?
Correct. So as each document comes in, the document is OCR'd, optical character recognition, data's extracted, data's mapped to the database, and then it runs, cranks through the combination of neural net and rules, calculates incomes, calculates whatever. If it has to do an OFAC check, it does an OFAC check. If it says, hey, this income on the pay stub is not consistent with the income on the W-2, it figures all that out.
Okay.
Or if it gets the tax returns as rental income that wasn't disclosed in 1003, it knows that and it flags it. All of the weird, it's all the edge cases, right? That's the challenge in this business. Fundamentally, the business looks simple, right? It's just calculate the income, divided by the debt, or you take your debt divided by income, get a debt to income ratio. So simple, yes, but there's a zillion edge cases.
More is on the edge that seems to be in the middle.
That's right. It only takes one edge case that you miss that blows up your closing. And what is an edge case for you as a lender is routine and normal for your buyer. You don't tell your buyer that he's an edge case.
So a loan processor that is gathering up the documents, or is it actually the Angel AI system teamed with your professional? So when someone signs up and is using Angel AI, you don't have to have that because your own people supported by Angel AI or Angel AI supported by your people, whichever way you look at it, is doing the work. Elaborate on that a little bit.
So all of the things that your loan processor does when you submit the file, and most people call them loan openers, you have a loan opener, and you have a loan processor. All of those things happen within the first 60 minutes. So you drop in that application. So it's integrated with work number and whatever, and 411 lookups and everything. And it's an automatic process and does everything. So you're completely processed in 1 hour, including case number pulls and all of that. Okay. And it's, there's no human touch. It's just baseline data process. The only time there's a human touch is that if there's an exception, then it raises an exception. Okay. And I think these days, I think we're running well under an hour. I think most of the time it's done in 30 minutes. So in that 1 hour, it's all processed. And provided there's sufficient information, the initial disclosures are out as well in that 1 hour by e-sign. Then after that first hour, it's ready for underwriting. Because at that point, all the documents are tagged, all the data is extracted, database is loaded. I don't want a loan officer busy filling in a 1003. Okay. And back in the 90s, we had these legal size printout 1003 that you fill in by hand, right? And I was like, this is stupid. Why do I have to fill this in? So I know what documents I need that fills in the 1003. So I wouldn't bother filling the 1003. I would say, give me these documents. I would review the documents. And if the documents were right and complete, then I would just take the documents. And then I said, okay, my loan processor, you go fill this in. It's all there. I've done the numbers. Here's the worksheet. Here's how the loan should be structured and go and be done with. So the same idea here. Now, instead of a loan process, a human reviewing those documents, it's a machine that reviews the documents, extracts the data, fills in everything. And then if there isn't enough information there to even underwrite the loan file, then it's an exception. And you get a message and an email saying, okay, I can't go any further without these things. So you as a loan officer is informed of what is missing all the time, continuously. What is always, you're kept informed of the status of the file in the most micro detail way. Okay. However, you don't even have to pay attention to it because the collection of those documents are done by human beings that, like I said, are angelistas. We call them angelistas. They're bilingual agents, employees of SunWest. Because they're employees of SunWest, they're allowed to contact consumers. So even if it's a third party, if some other mortgage company is using Angel AI, SunWest, because it's licensed, can contact those consumers on your behalf and collect those documents and drop it into Angel AI for you. That's where the relationship between Angel AI and SunWest is important. And people start to question, and the question I get, do I want to have to be afraid of SunWest taking my leads? I said, no, SunWest is under contract by Angel AI too, because it has the license to perform those services. Okay, under its contract, it cannot take your data. Right? You are a customer of Angel AI, not a customer of SunWest. You need SunWest. It's just back in the day, there were in the subprime times, there was these companies, I think Lydian was doing the same thing. It was a diligence outsource. It was a company that did all these loans and underwrote loans and stuff. But since it was under a bank charter, right, it had the authority to contact consumers. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't have a bank charter, but we do have all 50 state licenses, so we can contact consumers and have all the safety regs in place to do it properly.
So application qualified, structured, and is now gathering the data. You create the system, creates a needs list. The angelistas are going out and collecting the data, communicating on your behalf, allowing the loan officer to go out and just continue to go find the next transaction, work on their business, go get the business at the door. Once it reaches approval, are you using DU and LP then, a desktop underwriter and loan prospector, to make the decision, or is Angel AI making the decision?
In that first hour, when the initial disclosures are being prepared and all the interfaces are being done, that DU and LP is run automatically at that. And it also automatically, you don't have to press a button to say run DUNLP. It just does it.
Okay.
And it will find the cert, which is the best path, right? Whichever one has a fewer conditions and the simpler conditions, it'll go down that path.
And then talk about the pricing. Oftentimes, more and more consumers, especially in the market we're in today, are wanting to lock it as soon as they can apply for a loan. How are you handling the margins, the gain on sale, all the calculations that go into the secondary marketing that you want to obtain as a lender?
We take the data in real time from the different data sources for Treasury and TBA pricing. And SunWest or any customer of Angel AI can establish their margins and their rules. It says you can put an infinite number of rules in however you want your margins to be. And pricing is always real time generated. So if you go to a SunWest loan officer's landing page, and it'll show like today's rates, and it's that loan officer with his branch pricing, and we can set it up where a specific loan officer can have his own pricing. And it's real-time generated, but that's his offer. So when the initial disclosures go out, it's getting the LED is being generated with that moment's price. And the lock request is real time, and the consumer can make the lock, and it'll be locked at that moment.
So then it can be, or if the consumer continues to float. And so that decision is within the system. Now, again, this is how we're doing it within SunWest. I think we should also make sure we're addressing this as if IMB were to set this up or a third party were to set this up. How is this done? I'm wanting to get those kind of insights. So anyone listening to this will want to, that should be signing up for the system, will get deeper insights into how it works.
If you're an IMB signing up with the system, you would just way what you would do is tell us what your margins are and what your margins are for different LOs, different branches, and so forth. And it will generate rate sheets. It will generate a pricing engine. It generates a pricing engine access for you that is customized with your margins. And you can fine grain it down as detailed as you want. You can create adjustments on practically any characteristics of a loan file or any characteristics of your branch and loan officer. So it's just rules, right? And this is AI. So you just tell it what the rules are.
Yeah.
Take care of it. And then the pricing engine is just stood up automatically from that. So when you as an IMB use it and your loan officer goes in to make a lock or a pre-lock, it will take that real-time pricing to the moment. Now, if the market is closed, if the market is closed, so the TBA is on trading, but treasuries trade, 23 hours a day. So it's using treasury pricing and it's got the calculations in there. It knows how to track treasuries to TBAs based on latest OAS spreads and so forth. So it will do that calculation. And also, and you could tell it how much risk you want to take, okay? Because TBAs and treasuries can have, especially in this market, often broken apart overnight. You expect them to follow in a certain way, but by the time the morning opens, treasuries go one way and TBA goes the other way, right? You have to price in the risk of TBAs and treasuries breaking apart. We could put in our defaults is the way SunWest does it. You can just go with our defaults and life is happy. And I'm telling you, our hedging department does very well. Or if you have your own view on it, you tell us what your view is and we'll put that in there.
So the loan is now underwritten from the very beginning. You collected the documents, you have substantiated what was represented. And so you're ready now. You have approved loan locked. You're ready to go. How about closing docs? Who generates them? How is that process after the loan is approved? Borrower's ready to go to closing. Let's get it. Walk us through it.
That's the best part. I love this part because the other lenders, especially on the wholesale market, is closing is always the most time-consuming part of the process for your processors and your loan officers, because then you got to work through balancing the CD and coordinating with title, and getting the numbers right is usually a big rigmarole, getting the numbers just right. And so that what happens with a lot of companies is you get trained on working through closing with one lender, one process, and you get trained on it and it works and you don't want to mess with it because you don't want to ever have any problems at closing. So once you get trained with it, and this way it's business is sticky. When you get used to a lender, you stick to the lender because you're like, okay, at least I know the loans are going to close, right? At least I'm not going to have a borrower waiting at closing for docs or something like that, or the numbers are going to be wrong. In this process, all you have to do is deliver the last condition. So there's five conditions that you need to get a CTC. You deliver the last condition, and within max 6 hours, the closing docs are released. You don't have to worry about balancing with the closing agent or anything like that, because number one, we have every single fee imaginable in the system. So our initial CDs, if there's ever a difference, it's 99% of the time there's a difference is the closing agent had it wrong. And we know their fees better than they know their fees. If there is a difference, it's not your problem. The Angelista will talk to the closing agents and resolve it, because the AI gives them such clear instructions, like this is what the numbers are and why they are that way. And let's face it, most people that deal with CDs on an every single day basis don't really understand the numbers behind the CDs. If you ask the average closing agent, explain what per diem interest is and how it works, they won't get it. Explain what aggregate adjustment is. That's the big one. What is an aggregate adjustment and what is the months of escrow? And what is the difference between the two? Why is aggregate adjustment always negative? I think it'd be like 0.1% of all closers and closing agents could ever explain those kinds of questions.
Exactly right.
My philosophy is if no one understands it, why leave it up to people? Let the AI figure it all out and let it tell you, give you the instructions that this is what it needs to be and why, so that the Angelistas, when they communicate with the closing agent, it's a simple conversation, communicating in simple ways. And usually, if it's simple and to the point, there's no friction between you and the closing agent. because they just want to get the job done. You just want to get the job done. It says, here's the numbers. Here's why. They'd be like, okay. And it really boils down to who is better prepared. When you have the conversation, and you're well prepared, you have all your ducks in a row. And the other side, the closing agent is closing 20 deals that day. And they don't necessarily have all the information for whatever the differences are. They wouldn't know. Yeah. If you're well prepared and you say, here's why, they'll just accept it and move on. There's never a friction at closing as a result.
When you does the system generate docs upon a command or a prompt?
Prompt is, here's the last condition you asked for.
And then as soon as that's done, then the system is ready to print docs and go just, to close.
It just does it. It just generates the docs, okay. Sends it off to closing. It's all electronic closings. Most of them are almost completely electronic. I think there's some issues, some counties you can't do e-sign. I don't know the rules that well. That's a Jennifer question. Basically, from you as a loan officer's perspective, the last condition comes in, is dropped. You have nothing to worry about unless you get a call from Angel Easton saying, okay, I'm not able to communicate with this closing agent for whatever reason, or the borrower wants to reschedule the closing to be a different date or something like that.
Which can result in docs need to be, at least some docs need to be readjusted and or adjusted and they're reprinted and prepared. When are you using a third party for the docs right now?
Yes, we're using DocMagic and IDS.
So once then the loan is in, the docs have been prepared and they're then emailed like anything else. Again, Angel AI does all of that, emails it to closing agent, and then the docs are signed. And if it's a wet or dry state, depends on how, when the documents will come in, but they come in back to the mortgage company. Walk us through the actual funding closing of that transaction. If it's an escrow state, it funded at the closing when everyone signed. But if it's a dry state, it can all happen at different times. Walk us through, is Angel AI literally doing all of that in the background?
Correct. So when the docs are signed and they come back, so the docs are OCR'd and checked, it's automatically checked that all the pages are signed, that signatures are consistent, that everything is initial, that's supposed to be initialed, and it cross verifies the numbers, and then the disbursement authorization is released. I'm not a closing expert. I used to be, but I haven't done this in a long time. I believe in a wet state, I think all we need is a copy of the note.
The copy of, get the original note or a copy of the note, deed of trust typically.
Yeah. So I think we need a copy of the note and the deed of trust to give the disbursement authorization.
And as soon as you have that, then you're ready. The wires are released. Talk about the shipping of the loan. At that point, if this is an independent mortgage banker and you're underwriting this to their investor list, then how does the shipping of the loan happen?
Okay, so at that point, the instructions will always say send it to the custodian or the warehouse lender. And hopefully all of your warehouse lenders are using the same custodian. That's the way we've set it up. Closing agents often don't follow those instructions or they'll send it to you. About 30-40% of the time, you'll get the note. I hate getting notes, but it happens. Yep. Okay, so you have to have, you as a mortgage IMB, have to have the team to receive and properly manage the notes and make sure they get shipped to the right custodian.
So it gets shipped to the investor, the custodian, but what about the shipping of the loans, the necessary documents, the sale of the loan to the end investor?
In our process, and this is what we'd recommend everyone else do it, is you always ship the physical collateral only to the custodian. In our case, we use Deutsche Bank, and Deutsche Bank is the central custodian for all our warehouse lenders. And for most of our investors, it is the central custodian. So when you decide to sell it to somebody, okay, whoever it is, it's just a record push, data push to the custodian, and they flip it on their database. Okay, say you're selling it to somebody who's using Wells Fargo as a custodian, then it's still a record push. It's just now the custodian has to mail it to Wells Fargo, and you're going to go through that whole rigmarole. That part of it, you will need a shipping manager to oversee that. The connections, if you have multiple custodians and multiple investors, then they're all communicating to each other properly. That is still a little bit old school. You can't completely get rid of all the humans. We can make it really simple where one shipping manager can handle all your volume and you don't need much more than that.
Once the loan is been settled out, what about the accounting, the transfer of the monies, and how much does Angel AI get involved in that aspect of it, the settlements?
Yeah.
It gets ready to go into servicing?
In our process, so when the loan is funded, the actual disbursement, the funder gives the disbursement authorization.
Right.
And that disbursement authorization is then triggers a data feed to the warehouse lender.
Right.
Okay, so that happens, just the disbursement authorization. There's a human gives the disbursement authorization. So an IMB using this, Angel AI is not going to give a disbursement authorization. That's real money going out the door. You have to give a disbursement authorization to somebody at your shop. once you give that disbursement authorization, it generates the interface files to your warehouse lenders. So we got 4 or 5 major warehouse lenders interface with it. We probably have you covered. If not, it's simple to add. But anyways, so it generates the disbursement file, sends it to the warehouse lender. And at the end of the day batch, there's an end of day batch that runs automatically that exports all of the funding transactions that happen, and including if there was ever, maybe the borrower rescinded and you had to unfund, but you have to pull the wire back or something like that. So your funder goes in there and says, okay, loan rescinded. So now the money has to come back. So it'll generate all of those accounting GL entries automatically and prepare the file ready for, most people use AMB as the accounting system, and it generates it in the AMB format or ready for it to be sucked up.
It's really good. Mark, listen to all the details that have gone into what Pavant's created. Pretty amazing.
My accounting department has basically one accountant, and that person's job is really dealing with paper invoices that come in from vendors and making sure they all get handled properly. That's it. Yeah. So I got no one checking funding sheets and balancing closings and nothing like that.
There is so much about what this system can do. Is there anything out there like it? I'm trying to think of anything. There's pieces of technology, but no one piece of technology does virtually all of this. This is going to restack the tech stack down to one vendor.
And the other thing that it does is, like, my secondary desk, my lock desk, the whole trading, hedging, locking, everything is managed by David Pawa, and he does it part-time.
What?
And yes, and the only thing that he does is analyze the markets and make the decision, are we going long or are we going short? So he gets paid a lot of money to say long or short, and he's very good at that. And he's looking at all the data and crunching all the data and analyzing it. And especially these days, it's all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't know what news will come at you next. So being prepared for those risks. And based on his decisions, he puts it in the system that I'm going to go long or short. And then the rest is automatic. The trades are adjusted automatically and everything.
So does this track the trades when you make a decision? You put in
whatever
the decision is. So virtually everything's tracked in there. So there's no, that even automates even that process.
Yes.
For someone running a company that's funding $100 million a month in volume or in transactions, what can this do to reduce staff? And what staff are really now needed? What is the new angel AI company starting up for the first time really need for technology outside of angel AI and staffing outside of angel AI?
Yeah, so you could run a $100 million company with angel AI outside of your sales team. All you would really need is one underwriter who makes the final decisions. And for FHA loans, it must be a DE underwriter. And they're the ones who are going to, Angel AI will prepare the final file with all the conditions in for them to review and sign off and sign the conditional commitment before the CTC is delivered. So the only delay in a CTC could happen is if one underwriter, if you only have is out sick, okay, then the conditional commitments cannot be signed, right? And you held up, they can't be reviewed and signed. Okay, so you have that one underwriter. And if you're doing a lot of correspondent lending, in our case, we put everything into the agencies and Jenny. So it's a lot simpler. So we don't really even have anybody shipping because it just, it's all data. It just happens.
Yep.
So if you're doing Jenny execution and Fannie execution, it just interfaces with JennyNet and the Fannie Freddie systems. What is that? What do they call that? UDP? Yeah. So it just automatically sends the data to them and the delivery is done. So there's nobody touching it if it's going to the agencies. But if it's going to an investor, so I personally hate correspondent lending because I got to deal with their overlays, and I won't say their names. So of course you got to deal with the overlays of the people that are buying it. And then you got to deal with, they never look at the income, right? They always get something wrong. And so you're always in that back and forth, right? And then you have to deal with the whole shipping process. And we do sell some. A little bit every month to different aggregators just to keep the relationship alive. And we'll sell some, even we'll take a small hit in price, but keep those channels open. We'll sell some. And that's the most laborious, painful process ever. And we're like, okay, because there's this constant back and forth. You send them, we deliver them the file with everything. And their manual reviewer misses 2 items. They'll raise the condition. And then we're like, oh, no, it's there. Here it is again. We don't argue with them. It's just, here it is. Right. Yeah. And just this constant, here it is. And then you eventually get through it. And you can't blame them. It's not their fault. and they're human beings. And you get a file with 500 pages, you're going to miss something. I get it. I feel their pain. I understand. So that's why we don't argue. We're just like, oh, you need something? Here it is. And I see a lot of people in this business, they don't take that sort of collegial, collaborative approach. And it's always try to boil it down to us versus you. Me, I'm better than you, or you're better than me kind of thing. Again, going back to my father in the 80s, we never looked at it that way. We're just like, okay, let's just all get along, figure this out, and let's move on. Nobody's got anything to prove. I'd have to prove that my file is better than your file. Who cares? Right? Let's get the loan done.
Yeah, it goes back to why I loved working with your dad so much, is because let's just work on getting the loan done. Yeah. When you look at this, is it fair to say that this truly going to revolutionize the way lending is done?
Yeah, you could do $100 million a month with an underwriter, a shipping person, and an accounting clerk. And then somebody's got to make the decision on what your margins need to be. That's pretty much it. And maybe a CFO to manage your warehouse relationships and all that.
Yeah. This streamlines the process so extensively that you can significantly reduce staff, reduce costs. Any idea of what rate of adoption you anticipate this to have at any projections that you have?
All my projections have not come the way I thought it was going to be. I call it the Flowbee effect. If you remember that, that machine that this guy invented, the Flowbee. It was so good that it failed because it was putting hairdressers out of business.
I still have one. I still use it.
I wish I had a need for a Flowbee.
I use it to this day. They moved from Southern California, San Diego, out here to Texas. So I know the guy because I was so impressed with the device. It worked so well. It's so efficient. Yes.
Yes. And so this is a bit of the same problem, that it works so well, so efficient, that I think lenders are having just trouble getting their heads wrapped around it. Like, really, is this possible? And then the second thing is, because as I explained earlier in the podcast, is that there's this required relationship between Angel AI and SunWest, because you need a licensed entity to do some of these things. Okay. That there's this fear that, oh, SunWest is going to, you know, take my accounts. So I got to break past that fear and say, no, but this is a tech company and SunWest is under contract, just like Lydian was back in the day. Lydian has its own origination arm. It was a bank. Okay. Right. But it also was basically 50% of all subprime mortgages went through Lydian or contract services. This is the same idea here, except Lydian did it all manually. This is all automated. I think the hard part is breaking past that. Yeah, this is okay. And this really does work. So it's sort of a big bang approach, saying, okay, I'm going to just trust my whole mortgage company on this thing. What we've been doing is just saying, we'll put it out for free. Go in and use it. The thing is, does the product work? Don't take my word for it. Just go and try it yourself. Go in and put in a tax return, put in W-2, try it and see how it calculates the income and so forth, right? There are other products, other mortgage AI, claiming to be mortgage AI products, that when you actually go to use it, it messes up all the edge cases, right? It's what we talked about earlier. The edge case is what makes it hard. And yeah, if it's down the middle, it'll do it fine. But anyone can do it down the middle.
Right.
Can you get the edge cases? Okay. So this thing gets the edge cases. And we're so confident about it. So we just open it up and it's just like, anyone, just go and use it. Try it out. Drop it in and see for yourself. And it's free. And so what we're having today is we get a lot of loan officers and underwriters and people from other from competing lenders. They're competing to SunWest, but they're customers of Angel AI, my tech company. So they're my customers and I want them to use it. I want them to go in there and try it out and get comfortable with it and realize that, what have I been doing all these years? Why am I doing it the hard way? Let's just do it the easy way. Let's hit the easy button and just go, right? And what we're seeing is that a large number of, and I don't have the exact stats, but I would say at least 10, 20% of, if not more, of the daily requests and traffic, we're getting over 5,000 hits a day on Angel AI.
Wow.
And that's growing like 10% every month. Okay. So I think at least 10, 20% of that is non-SunWest users. It might even be more. I asked that data for the breakdown distribution. And I know of stories of an underwriter who was doing her own loan and couldn't get it done at her own company. Went into Angel AI, uploaded her information, got the approval, and then went into our call center and got it done that way after it got declined at her own place. And at a conference, an underwriter from another company came and says, yeah, whenever I'm stuck, even told me, whenever I'm stuck and I can't figure something out, I'll just drop the information in July, see what it says, then I'll go with that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and you're making this available to lenders for free. Yes. That's the part that's a revenue model I've got to scratch, makes you want to scratch your head a little bit. But you're really wanting people to get familiar with it and realize it, and then hopefully that'll open up a door for a relationship.
Yes, that's exactly right. You have to invest to get a relationship. And this is different and groundbreaking. Unless you get people's hands on it, get them into it, they're not going to ever understand it. So that's why it has to be just made fully available. I don't want to have to go and try to sell it as, well, sign this contract and you pay us a bunch of money and I promise you it's going to work. And other people have signed those kinds of deals with other systems that are promising an automated AI underwriting and all this stuff. And when they actually go to use it, misses a lot of edge cases is the feedback I get.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I got a couple comments and questions here. When you have gone through the process, whether you have them now, or are you thinking about doing them? Are you thinking about having a thing, if you're buying a loan from somebody, that'll run that loan officer that did the loan against the bad FHA database of bad loan officers and things like that? Are you comparing the location of property gets redlining and stuff like that so that you're preparing yourself not to get a repurchase or have a regulatory problem down the way? And David, I was thinking about that and something else we worked on. Pavon says in the underwriting, he's willing to take the risk. How cheap he could wrap insurance around this thing after running AI against it? Against repurchases that we worked on with that other gentleman, probably put that stuff on there so cheap, it's unbelievable. And I guess the other question come on for me, because I got a whole broad scope of experience I want to look at and compare to this. Do you intend on doing your AI to do post-closing reviews? And do you intend to carry your AI in the servicing to do quality control reviews?
Actually, we'll answer it backwards. So do I intend to... Yes, the Angel AI is being built right now and is scheduled to be completed by the end of the year for loan servicing. This is going to be our loan servicing system by the end of the year, where consumers will be interacting with it directly, and the whole system, loan payment processing, everything, loan servicing system will be Angel AI. The rest of the world is on 1960s COBOL technology loan servicing system. We're leapfrogged all of that into 21st century AI loan servicing. So you can imagine what that's going to do to our cost per loan. Okay, in the big scheme of things, compared to the Wells Fargo's of the world, we're a small servicer. We only have 20 billion or so, 20, 25 billion in servicing. And our projection is with AI-based loan servicing for that small portfolio, we can get it down to $3, maybe even sub $3 a loan for servicing cost. So that puts our servicing cost will be, for that small portfolio, would be the same or close to the same as the big box servicers, and still delivering that 10 seconds call response time. If you go on a website that for our loan servicing customers, like 70% or something, I forget the numbers, of the phone calls that come in there is answered in less than 10 seconds.
And due to the quality of what you have and also the low servicing cost, your MSR value is going to go through the roof.
Exactly. Mark gets it. Now you understand why we're investing the money in the servicing AI technology. And as far as post-close, the system already handles post-close. And I think you may be talking about post-close QC. We're actually building out a part of the system for that. We are doing post-close QC partially with the system, but it's a different set of parameters for post-close QC. So that's in the process of being built out. So figure in the next 6-8 months, it'll do the full post-close QC as well.
Okay. So Pavon, how can people get a hold of you to learn more? Where's the process? AngelAI.com?
Just go to AngelAI.com, click on, or you can go to AskAngel.ai. Both of those to basically the same place. Click on Let's Chat. And you can just, I recommend you just start chatting with AngelAI and start asking her questions. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can just ask her to connect her to me and she'll reach out to me.
We will get your email information in there. Have a great rest of your day. Safe travels, friend.
See you, David. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Hey, listeners, this hot topic would not be possible without our sponsors. I want to say a special thank you again to Byte Software, Finastra, Total Expert, Candor Technologies, Simple Nexus, iEmergent, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, and Modix. Be sure to check out each of those sponsors and their sponsor on our website, Lincoln on Lending, at the sponsorship page. Thank you.
You've been listening to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.